picked up the coronavirus. I listened to his speech yesterday, and you can tell how weak he is just by the way his tone of voice and stuff is. And even though he's kind of trying to blow it off a little bit, it's still, you know, it's still really working on him, and we need to take and pray for him, pray for Mrs. Trump, and we need to just pray for the churches in the United States, that everybody has be able to worship as they please. And I got a call yesterday from Mary and Tom, and Tom has to go in for surgery. He's got to have 2 feet of his colon taken out. And Mary, she said that she'll find out if she has to have surgery this week, so on her cancer. So we just need to take and pray for everybody and that. So what?
There's so many with cancer anymore. I really noticed it on the prayer sheets.
Like, we got it on the prayer sheet. Yeah, we do.
No, I'm saying.
Yeah.
He can't hear, see?
You're right.
You say there's many people on the prayer sheet.
Yeah.
With cancer.
Oh, I know. So, so let's go to the Lord in prayer before we start and just pray for this stuff. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for all that you've done for us. We thank you for this Lord's Day that we come and we can worship as we please. And Father, we thank you so much for this church. Thank you for the people who come so faithfully. Father, I just pray now that you'd be with President Trump and Mrs. Trump, Lord, as they have this coronavirus. Lord, we just pray that you'd take and heal their bodies, help him to get back to full health again, that he can get back on the campaign trail, and that he can do what you've called him to do, to be the president of this great country. And Father, we just pray for Vice President Pence today. We pray that you'll keep him safe and away from the virus. And Father, we think also of the many others that are on our prayer sheet on every Wednesday. We think of the ones that have cancer. We pray for them. And we just pray, Lord, that you take and be with them, be with Tom and Mary. Pray, Lord, that you take and heal their bodies. Father, we just thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for all that you've done for us. Thank you for allowing us to be in your house today. Father, it's going to be a great day today, and we just pray that you'd be with the Sunday school, be also with this morning's service, that everything that's said and done will be for your honor and your glory. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. We pray now that you'll guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy chapter number 4. What's that? I know it is. It just, I'll tell you, this, they're spraying them stupid cotton fields, and it's terrible. But I'm full of hives. Oh, man. But so if I start itching, don't worry about it. Or if I start scratching on the wall, that's what I usually do, scratch on the wall. Yeah, door frames, whatever I can find to scratch on, I do, believe me. So, all right, 1 Timothy chapter 4, we're going to be looking at one verse today. There's a lot in this verse, and I want to go through it. I've got some verses that I want you to write down. As we go through this, I'll tell you where they are, and they're put them somewhere in the back of your Bible so that you know what they're for and why they're there. But 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, it says, "If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith, by a good doctrine whereunto thou hast attained." I want to take and just go back three verses. I want to start at, actually, let's go back to verse 4. It says, "For every creature of God's is good, and nothing is to be refused, if it be refused with thanksgiving, if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God in prayer." Now, we need to take in, we remember last week and the week before that Paul was talking about what we should and shouldn't eat. and how that everything was given to us now, and that we can take and we can partake in the things that were unclean before. Now he's shifting gears a little bit, and he's saying that he says, "If thou shalt put the brethren in remembrance of these things," and the things that he's talking about are the things that he previously talked about eating and unclean animals, eating things like that. Now Paul is telling Timothy he was to put in ears of the young preachers and the young churches the things that he has been taught, so that the church would be pure before God. Now we need to realize that Timothy's not very old. And when Paul is writing 1 Timothy, the first letter to Timothy, Timothy may have been in his 20s. And Timothy's not very old, and Paul is taking him under his wing, and he's trying to teach him everything that he needs or is going to need to know to be a good preacher, a good evangelist. Now, Paul knows there will be a time coming very soon where the people would not hold to sound doctrine and would go after many forms of religion. And, you know, that happened not only in Timothy's time, but it happens today also. You know, Paul also knew that the people, if not led in the right direction, the world would try to take and lead them in a different way. Paul knew that. Paul knew that Satan would take and try to lead people in a way that they shouldn't go. After all, the Bible says that we are to take and go in the way that the Lord tells us to, and that we're to do everything he wants us to do. Now, Paul also knew that the people, if not led in the right direction, would go back to the law. You know, after all, what religion did they know? They just knew the law. That's all that they had known, was the Mosaic law. Because a lot of these people were Jews. And now Paul went to the Gentiles, but there was an awful lot of Jews that were getting saved too. So what the Jews were doing is they're trying to bring back the law and the things that were under the law back into the church, feeling that they needed to be in the church. Now, if the churches would preach the Bible the way that it was written, and the preachers not try to psychoanalyze the church, I guarantee it would be a lot better place for God, for the honor and glory of God. You know, there's an awful lot of preachers today that do that. They'll take a verse and they'll try to psychoanalyze that verse and say, well, what was he really talking about? Instead of taking that verse literally, he would do that. And you know, there's an awful lot of preachers, believe it or not, that do that very thing. In fact, I got into a little discussion the other day with a pastor on the internet about, he asked a question about in Revelation, I know what it was. Why people feel that Revelation 4, that it was the rapture of the church. Revelation 4, 1 and 2. And we just happened to go through that. And so I took all the verses I had from my notes and I sent them back to him. And I said, well, I said one thing. I said, if you look at the parallelization between 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 50, 1 through 58, and also 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, I said, you'll see a parallel between the three of these. They all have a shout, they all have a trumpet sound, and they all change people in immediately. And he went and he wrote me back, and he says, well, I don't really feel that's what John was meant here. And I said, well, if you're going to psychoanalyze it, you're not going to take it literally. I said, I feel sorry for you, because you're not going to grasp the rest of the book of Revelation. Guarantee it. And so what we need to realize is that even in the days of Paul, the early church, the preachers were trying to psychoanalyze and say, well, is this really what was meant by what they wrote? And what do they have to go on for Scripture? Well, they had the Old Testament, and then they had the letters that were being written by Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They had the Gospel now, and they had Paul's letter to the Corinthians, Paul's letter in Romans. And so they had that, but they were trying to psychoanalyze what Paul really meant when he wrote this or that. Well, Paul's saying, hey, there's going to be a time when, you know, people are not going to be teaching the Word of God the way they should. Now, then he goes on to say, he says, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Paul wanted young Timothy to realize if he would preach the Word the way it should be and continue to keep it before the people, he would be a good minister. God wants us to do what is right before Him. He wants us to preach the Word of God, and it needs to be preached in season and out of season. He wants the doctrines of the Word of God to be preserved and preached from generation to generation. And this is one of the things that is going on today in a lot of fundamental independent Baptist churches, is that many of the men are going back to the old-time religion, so to speak. And what they're doing is they're going back to the old paths. A lot of the churches that had went away from hymnals are going back to hymnals and the old hymns of the faith. A lot of them that were going to a different version of the Bible are going back to the King James Version. And this is what has to be done. If we're going to see a revival, if we're going to see people get saved, we have to use, number one, the right book, we have to use the right doctrine, and we have to use the right faith. And so many churches today are not doing that. There's so many churches today that are preaching a watered-down gospel, and people are not getting convicted. People are not getting saved. You know, if a preacher preaches the Word of God, he'll be counted a good minister of Jesus Christ. And we need to understand that if a person preaches God's Word, that he's going to be counted a good minister. You know, however, if a preacher decides he does not want to preach sin, salvation, sanctification, separation, and soul winning, he is not preaching the gospel message. Now, I want you to listen to those again, because I want you to write them down, and I'm going to give you verses along with them. The first one is salvation, or sin. Preach sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The second one is salvation. Neither is there salvation in Acts chapter 4, verse 12. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. The third one then is sanctification. In 1 Corinthians 6:11 it says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And then the next one is soul winning. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, separation. It says, wherefore, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And the last one then is soul winning. And in Mark chapter 16, verse 15, it says, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'll give those to you again if you didn't get them written down. But these five things here are what a preacher needs to preach. This is sound doctrine. This is the doctrine that Paul wanted Timothy to understand. This is what Paul wanted the early churches to understand, that they needed, number one, to preach sin. Make sure that people know that they're a sinner. Make sure they know that the things that are they do contrary to the Word of God is sin. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned come short of the glory of God. The second thing is salvation. Make sure a person knows that they have to be saved in order to get to heaven. Acts 4:12 says, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby ye must be saved. Then the third one then is sanctification. And this is one of them that people have a hard time with, sanctification. And such were some of you, but ye are washed, ye are sanctified, ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God. We need to realize that we are sanctified the very moment that we get saved. First, we have to find out that we're a sinner. Second, we have to know what salvation is. Third, we need to take and be sanctified. Then the fourth thing is this. We need to have separation. In 2 Corinthians 6:17, it says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." Why is it important to be separated? What's that?
So you don't get dragged down.
Okay, so you don't get dragged down. You know, what we need to realize is this. A weak Christian, a strong Christian will never bring a weak Christian up. A weak Christian will always bring that strong Christian down. And if you say, well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you have a Christian friend and they do things that aren't right, it isn't long and you think, well, if they do it, I can do it too. And what will happen is a weak Christian will always bring a strong Christian down, but a strong Christian will not bring a weak Christian up. And so you need to be careful who you associate with, who you have for friends, where you go, who you talk to, and things like that. What about having friends with people in the world, good friends with people in the world? You know, it's exactly the same thing. Because what's going to happen is your friends in the world are going to take and bring you down. They will. You know, all of a sudden you'd be going to their house and they'll say, well, here, have a beer. Or here, let's go to a party. Let's do this. Let's do that. And it isn't long and you cave in. There was a guy, an old guy, he was an alcoholic, and he got saved. And he got saved at Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. And he had such a burden to go and witness to the people that he used to hang out with, because he knew they needed to get saved too. So what happened is he went back to the bars that he used to frequent. And he went and he would sit in there and he would try to take and win people to the Lord in the bar. Well, it wasn't long and he was drinking right alongside everybody else. And his testimony went right down through the floor. And so what we need to realize is we need to separate ourselves from the things of the world. You know, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For the love of the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is of the world. We need to take and be careful that we don't get sucked into what the world wants and what Satan thinks that we should have. You know, there's an awful lot of people today who say, well, you know, I can do anything that I want to do as long as I don't get caught doing it. You know what I mean? And that's not the way it is. Because God sees everything that you do. It doesn't matter what we do, where we go, what we say, God always sees it. You know, He's everywhere. And we need to understand that. But, you know, there's so many preachers today that do not want to preach as they should, thinking they will offend someone with their preaching. You know, and I'll be honest with you, preachers are that way. I'm that way once in a while. I think to myself, God will give me a message to preach, and I'll go, man, I ain't going to preach that. There ain't no way I'm going to preach that message. Everybody will get up and walk out. You know, I mean, that is just too hard of a message to preach. The one today is a hard message to preach. And, you know, I just hope people don't get up and walk out today. But, you know, and so, but there's a lot of preachers that won't preach hard things because they're afraid the people will take and leave. And the bigger the church, the more you see this. I talked to a preacher the other day, and I said to him, I said, has your preaching style changed over the years? And he said, well, yeah, it has. I said, why? And he said, well, he says, because people's views have changed. I said, the Bible is the same today as it was then, wasn't it? Well, yeah. I said, then why aren't you preaching the same today as you did then? Well, do you? I said, yeah. I've not changed my style of preaching in 21 years. And what we need to realize is we need preachers that will stand behind the pulpit and they will preach, thus saith the Lord. There's too many preachers out there that will not preach the way they need to. Then he goes on to say that you need to nurture up in words the faith and of good doctrine. Paul's telling Timothy, you have the words, and you need to preach them. You know, you have the words of faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You've heard everything that I've taught you on faith. Now go and preach it. And this is what Paul is trying to get across to Timothy. He says, I want you to take and preach faith. I want you to preach to people that they have to have faith in order to see God's hand work. You know, there's a lot of times when we don't see God's hand work because we don't have faith that God can do it. And yet God can do anything but fail. And we need to realize that if we will take and rely on God to take care of it, he will. But if we don't have faith and we don't rely on God to take and take care of everything, he's just going to sit back and say, okay, do it on your own. Go ahead. See what happens when you try to do this on your own. You know, that's like when we had the fire. You know, I'll tell you what, it worried me, and it really did, because I knew what it was going to cost us to put this back together. I knew what it was going to cost to take and paint the inside of this and put new flooring in and everything. I knew what it was going to cost. And, man, I prayed and prayed and prayed. But I had faith that God would supply everything. Even though my mortal self said, well, you know, you're going to have a plan B, you know, just in case God doesn't come through, I just said, no, I don't need a plan B because plan A is going to work. And we have to have that faith. We have to have faith that God will do everything. And this is what Paul is trying to get across to Timothy. You've got to preach that people have to have faith. Not only that, but you've also got to take and preach the doctrines which I've showed you, which I received from the Holy Spirit, and now you need to go and preach these sound doctrines. Timothy, you need to go and preach that which you have been taught, and you're going to have the sound doctrine you need. You know, there's an awful lot of preachers today who do not preach sound doctrine. They'll preach fables, and they'll preach stories, but they don't preach God's word. And we need to realize that if we're going to take and grow spiritually, we've got to be taught the word of God. We need to be taught what Paul taught Timothy. We need to be taught sin, sanctification, salvation. We need to be taught those things so that we can teach someone else, so that they can teach someone else, and so on and so on and so on. And if we can take and do that, we're going to see that we're going to have sound doctrine not only preached in the churches, but we're going to have sound doctrine preached in their Sunday schools and our More Than Conquerors and in our TUG and stuff like that. So if everybody can take and study God's word, you know, what does 2 Timothy 2:15 say? Study to show yourself approved on, no, yeah, study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And what we need to realize is that if we don't study, we aren't going to know what the doctrines are that are in God's word. And, you know, the number one doctrine is what? Salvation. We need to take and be able to know how to lead a person to the Lord. You know, last Sunday, you know, I'll tell you what, I was really proud of Nancy, and she knew just what to say. She knew how to do it, and that's what we need. We need people who aren't afraid to take the Bible and show people how to get saved. I was talking to my granddaughters on Friday, And I said to him, I said, well, I said, did you guys go out soul winning last night? Yeah, we went out for a little bit. I said, well, how'd you do? And Naomi says, I led one to the Lord. And I mean, she's only, what's Naomi, 10?
Yeah.
10 years old. Well, if a 10-year-old can lead somebody to the Lord, then what about us? We should be able to lead a lot to the Lord. And and I get excited when I hear my granddaughters saying, yeah, Grandpa, I led somebody to the Lord. You know, and, you know, I think it's really cool. Now, this morning, Marissa, she was up at 6 o'clock this morning, got dressed, got everything ready to go. And Scott had her down at the bus at 7 o'clock, and she was riding a bus. She's a bus worker, and they went out on their bus route. And she'll be on her bus route till 2 o'clock this afternoon. They'll get back at 2 o'clock. Then they have teen soul winning at 2 o'clock, and then they go soul winning for 2 hours. They're back to the church at 4 o'clock, and church starts at 5. Yeah. And they have choir practice in between from 4 until 5. So, I mean, their whole day from 7 o'clock in the morning until they get home at 7 o'clock that night for 12 hours is just constant church. Now, this week they've got a missions conference. And I was talking to Denise, and Denise says, we got to get as much moved as we can this weekend because next week is it's shot. I said, what do you mean? She goes, well, Sunday we start our missions conference, and it's Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night soul winning. Friday night is they got a teen activity, and she says, we're back to Saturday. And Saturday we go out bus calling and stuff, and so she, all next week is shot. We have to get as much moved this weekend as we could. And so I texted her this morning to see how they did, and she said, well, we got 2 more loads to move, and then we're done. And but they're all moved into the house. Now they just got to get everything unpacked. But you know, that's what happens when you're busy for the Lord. You know, when you're busy for the Lord, you're busy all the time. You know, I look at our church. You know, we have a lot of things going on here. You know, and we're nothing like they are. But, you know, and I'd love to take and start having a teen soul winning on a Sunday afternoon. I love to have a, you know, things like that going on. Have a church soul winning on Thursday night. You know, we used to do that all the time on Thursday night. Go out door knocking, and we'd have church on Friday, Wednesday night. Go out Thursday night soul winning. Friday night was MTC.
We were just talking about that Kevin on Friday.
Oh yeah, yeah. But that's what we need. That's how a church grows. You know, people don't beat the door of the church down to get in. You have to take and invite them to get in. And, you know, each of you know people I don't know. And if you take and you invite them to church, you know what? That's somebody else that's coming to church. But then he goes on to say, it says, whereunto thou hast attained. The Greek word for attain means to trace out or make a copy. Now, Paul is telling Timothy, you've seen what I preach, you have seen what I teach, you have seen how a person needs to get saved, you have seen my lifestyle, and you have seen my testimony before your very eyes. Now, what he's saying here is, since you have seen all of these things, I want you to make yourself a carbon copy of me. And I want your life patterned after my life. Late Dr. Jack Hiles, I heard him preach one Sunday, and he said this. He said, I wish I could make 1,000 of me. Make 1,000 of me who were soul winners and go out and lead people to the Lord. He says, if I could make a carbon copy of me 1,000 times, he says, we would have a church so large that the door, that we'd have to build a new building every single year. But he says, it's hard for people to grasp the concept of what they need to do in order to take and be like someone else. You know, but Paul is saying that you need to take and continue to do what you've been taught to do. You know, I've taught you all of this doctrine. I've taught you all of this, the things you need to know. Now it's up to you to go out and do it. You know, I can't do it for you, Paul's saying. You've got to go out and do it yourself. And, you know, I would like nothing better than to reproduce all the good truths of my life, you know, into the life of someone else, and them to reproduce it into someone else, and so on and so forth. I love to reproduce my soul-winning ability. I love to reproduce my love. I love to reproduce my knowledge of God's Word. I love to reproduce my doctrine that I've learned from the Bible and good Bible teachers over the years. And this is what we need to realize, is that all of us should be trying to reproduce ourselves in someone else. You know, Carol's caretaker, we were talking one day, and I led her to the Lord, but she said, I can't understand why you and Mrs. Storm are always so happy. She said, with everything that happens with you people, you should be the saddest people upon the earth. But if we were sad, what kind of a testimony would that be to her? You know, we have to be upbeat. We have to be happy. We have to be joyful, even though we don't want to be. But that's our testimony to everybody else. And if your testimony is good to other people, then all of a sudden they can see Christ in you and they go, you know what? I want to be like that. I want to do that. I had a call this morning from Mary, and they're up in Nebraska. And she said to me, she says, you know, she says, I listen to your guys, you every Sunday morning. Every Sunday morning I turn on the internet and I listen to you preach. And she says, I just love your preaching. And she says, and you know, she says, you and your wife pattern yourself after your preaching. And I said, well, what do you mean? She goes, well, she says, everything that you say in your messages, that's what you guys do. I said, well, that's what we're supposed to do. Because we are to live by sound doctrine. There's not one of us in here that shouldn't pattern our lives after sound doctrine. You know, we as Christians are to reproduce ourselves. You know, isn't that what the fruit is? You know, how many times did Jesus talk about fruit in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? In the four Gospels, how many times does he talk about fruit? He talks about a fig tree. He talks about a vine and stuff on the vine. And what he's talking about there is fruit of fruit. You know, the thing that I think is so neat about salvation is this. Okay, now, I led Chuck to the Lord. All right, now, Chuck led Kevin to the Lord. Now, Chuck is fruit of my fruit. Okay, he's fruit of my fruit. Okay, now, Chuck led Kevin to the Lord, so Kevin is fruit of my fruit. So what we need to realize is that as we reproduce, as we lead other people to the Lord, we are gaining fruit. And the more fruit we have, the better off we will be down the road. You know, I can hardly wait till I get into heaven to see how many people that actually, by listening on the internet or something else, got saved, and we don't even know it. But yet there's still fruit of my fruit. And we need to understand that we need to reproduce ourselves so that we will have fruit. You know, I've never really seen an orange tree reproduce an apple. Have you? You know, my uncle, he would graft things into trees. You know, he'd graft different branches in trees. And I mean, some of the things he came up with was unbelievable. But he had one tree, and I mean, he had oranges, he had grapefruit, he had lemons, he had all kinds of citrus, all growing on this one tree. And why was it? It wasn't natural for the tree, but it was grafted in there. But we need to realize is that when we reproduce somebody, that it's a natural reproduction. It's like an orange reproducing an orange, or an apple reproducing an apple, or a banana reproducing a banana. You know, it's something like that that we reproduce that's natural. And if we would take and do that, I guarantee that we would have our reproduction would be a lot better and our soul winning would be a lot better. But why did we need to reproduce more Christians just like we are for the honor and glory of God? And if we can do that, if we can just reproduce ourselves in someone else, we're going to have a whole lot better Christian life. You know, there's nothing I enjoy more than to lead somebody to the Lord. I mean, that and baptize, I mean, those are the two greatest things I think there is in the Christian life. But I love to see people get saved. And the reason I do is because I know then that once they get saved, they never again have to worry about where they're going to spend eternity. You know, neither, the Bible says neither height nor depth nor principalities, nor thing present or things to come can separate us from the love of the Lord through Christ Jesus. And what we need to realize is nothing can take our salvation away from us. Once we're saved, we're always saved. And that's the neat thing about salvation, is once you get saved, you're always saved. You don't ever have to worry about being unsaved. So here we see that Paul is telling Timothy that what he needs to do is he needs to reproduce himself. And as he reproduces himself, he's going to have more like him in the church. And he needed to take and reproduce preachers. He needed to reproduce deacons. He needed to reproduce teachers, Sunday school teachers, and teachers that can preach the Word of God. And it's no different with us today. We all need to reproduce. And if we reproduce ourselves, we're going to have the people we need down the road to do the things that God wants us to do. I didn't do verses 7 through 9. We're going to do those next week because I knew there was an awful lot in verse 6. So we're going to take and have a word of prayer. We're going to start church about 15 minutes. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for your love. Thank you for the Sunday school lesson. I just prayed, Lord, that we would take and be able to reproduce ourselves, that we could have many more Christians just like we are. Father, I pray now that you'd guide and direct the service to follow. I pray that everything that's said and done will be for your honor and your glory. We love you. We thank you for what you've done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to start church about 15 minutes. Don't forget Wednesday night is question and answer. If you have any questions, make sure you write them down and get them to me, and we'll try to answer them.